Good evening, everybody. So as we are approaching Parshas Vayera, I thought it would be more than appropriate to learn about the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. I think we generally grow up knowing that there's like a mitzvah to host guests, and we don't generally think all too critically about the mitzvah, you know, what's there to ponder. There's a mitzvah to host guests, like Shkoyach. That being said, I thought upon entering this time of year, it would be a nice sugya to kind of delve into. And when I looked into why Torah, if I could, you know, supplement my materials, or even in the past 48 hours or so, you know, many other Rabbanim, I've even given a shir, you know, they do a similar thing, let's say in their shul, like say a halacha from the Parsha all over the country, other parts of the world. And I discovered Rav Eliezer Melamed in the Pinene Halacha, so he has extensive writing about this. Baruch Hashem Olamot.net, which I often benefit from, so they have a whole packet on Hachnasas Orchim, and the Chafetz Chaim Avas Chesed. So that's like the main source for the sugya. And the shiurim I listened to also kind of helped me put the sources into perspective, and so it's really, there's a lot there. So I was actually pleasantly surprised to see how much literature there is out there, and how many shiurim on Vayu Torah there are already on this topic. So we'll begin with the sources in the classical sense, and we'll try to really tackle the main question of the evening of Hachnasas Orchim Bizman Hazeh. Is it the same mitzvah nowadays that it always was? That's really going to be the main question we're going to have to kind of tackle. We'll see that it's not, you know, it's kind of like progressed over the years. And here we go. So let's share this screen. We'll go to the first source this evening is in the Avos de Rabbi Nassan. So we know that Pirkei Avos has like other permutations. Another kind of similar work in Chazal are the Avos, not Pirkei Avos, but the Avos de Rabbi Nassan in particular. But again, very famous work of ethics. And here we find that Eov is contrasted compared to Avraham, and the chesed of Eov is actually inferior to the chesed of Avraham. The Midrash Rabbi, I think it's elsewhere quoted as a Pirkei Rabbi Ezer. Again, Bar Ilan, I found it in the Avos Rabbi Nassan. It could be that it's also elsewhere in Chazal. I found it in the Avos Rabbi Nassan. And the Avos Rabbi Nassan says like this, that Eov clearly did a lot of Hachnasas Orchim, and yet he was put in a lot of pain. So when Hashem started inflicting pain and punishment onto Eov, he had a valid complaint, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Ha'isi Ma'achal Re'evim, U'mashka Tzmeim, Lo Ha'isi Malbish Arumim. Meaning, did I not do a ton of chesed that I deserve this punishment? So Al Pichein, nonetheless, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'Eov, Eov Adayim Lavigata L'Chati Shir Shel Avraham. Yo, okay, granted you did a lot of chesed, shkoyach, but you are still not even 50% of what Avram Avinu's chesed was. Why? Check out the amazing difference. Ata Yoshev v'shoa b'soch b'yisra, you just sit and you wait in your home. V'orchim nechnasim etzlecha. Okay, so when you're home, orchim visit you. Etshed archol echol paschitim, echol to paschitim. Those who appreciated wheat flour, bread made out of wheat you made, that for them. Those who appreciated fleshiks, they got fleshiks. So yain, etc. So you gave everyone what they liked. In contrast, he was not passive. Avram did not approach this mitzvah in the same way as Eov. Rather, he would actually go on the offense. He would go out, ukeshe yimsa orchem machnisan besoch beso. I mean, Avraham would bring them into his home. And etshe ein darchul echol paschitim, and even those who were not accustomed to eat the best, you know, quality bread, Avraham still gave them bread of wheat, you know, as opposed to settling for an inferior, you know, bran or, you know, something that's not really wheat. And those who were not accustomed to eating meat or drinking wine, Avraham gave them meat and wine. Anyway, Avram gave everyone first-class service. And check this, I never understood. I don't know if I knew this before. When I learned it preparing the shir, it sounded new to me. Avram even built stations on the way. Almost like you get like the picture as if he had like vending machines, as if he was like, you know, in Manhattan with like a hot dog stand. He would go out there, v'hiniach sham ma'achal u'mashke. He would put food out on the way. He would set up little like mini stands. V'chol haba v'nichnas achav v'shasa u'beirach la'shamayim. So it would lead people to praise God. Now again, Hilchos Brachos was invented rather later in history, but apparently when they ate, they would bless God. I'm not sure if that means before, after, you know, seemingly that's not really a reference to Brachos as we know it, but they would appreciate the Ribono Shel Olam's presence as they enjoyed Avram hosting them. And l'fichach na'aseh lo nachas ruach, v'chol shehapesh shoel, anything that you asked for, matzoi besoch beiso shel Avram, you can find at Avram's house. Wow. So I start the shir this evening with his Avos Rabbi Nassim to give you the image, al pi hashkafa, that Avram Avinu was achnasas orchim to the maximum degree. He gave you meat, he gave you wine. Even if you didn't ask for it, he was in your face. He even sought you out. He looked for guests. And it's an unbelievable concept to learn from Avram Avinu in this week's parsha. We know, obviously, in this week's parsha, he's sitting ill after recovering, while recovering from his bris milah, yet he's still, you know, on the outskirts of his tent, looking, you know, for Orchim, anticipating, he's hoping to find Orchim. And we have to learn from Avram Avinu, and we're actually going to see that Avram is a halachic source, ironically, even though that's not usually how these things work. Okay, so moving on. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, this Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin, Amar Aleph, Gedola Hachnasas Orchim, Ma'akpalas Pnei Shechina. So the mitzvah of hosting guests is on a greater level than even greeting the Shechina. Right, how do we know that from this week's parsha? Because what did Avram do? Even though the Ribono Shel Olam and Avram were sitting together, Avram basically said, Hashem, please let me go greet the guests. And like Avram, Kiviyachol, put Hashem on hold to go host the guests. We know that Vayomer Hashem, right? Im na matzasi chen menacha al na ta'avor, meaning Hashem, I want to go basically to the front door to go host the guests. Can you please like wait for me to come back in the backyard? I.e., Hashem, you're like not as important almost as me going to be machnes the Orchim, says the Gemara. And that's actually in a tziv. There's a Rabbi Wasserman, who Shira listened to in the car today. So there's a tziv that says, who explains this Maimer Chazal and the Emek Davar in this week's Parsha as saying, what's on a higher level of hosting the Ribono Shel Olam is imitating the Ribono Shel Olam, right? Meaning, by being Machnas Orchim, you're actually doing what the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to do, a chesed, which is on a higher level. Okay, I didn't see that in Tziv inside, but a fascinating concept. Okay, so these are all Makoros to give you a flavor, you know, obviously, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, we should be familiar with that purity, almost that naivety of the classical concept of Hachnasas Orchim. It's a beautiful mitzvah, Avram Avinu, and you know, this is what you gotta do. And the Medrash Tanchuma even says that a reward for getting, for being Machnas Orchim is that you'll merit to have male children, you merit to have children. Yesh mitzvah shematan schar banim, you go and sara she'ircha esa orchim, v'hashunam she'kibla esa lisha. So we know that in the merit of being Machnas Orchim, Sari Imenu had Yitzchak, and the Shunamis was Oche to have her son. We know that when she hosted Elisha, right, she prepared a special room, a guest room, and she had a child after many years, right, of her not being able to have children. In her old age, she had a child. Right, that's this week's Haftorah also, right? I mean, I think that's why there's a parallelism between Sarah and the Shunamis, if I'm not mistaken, is this week's Haftorah. And the Chafetz Chaim says that's what the Pshat in this week's Parsha is, that what does that mean that the Malachim told Avraham, you're going to have a child now? The Chafetz Chaim and Avas Chesed says, that's the Pshat. Since they were Machnes Orchim, that's why they merited to finally have a son, right? That's why it's juxtaposed in the Torah, right? That's how the Chafetz Chaim explains in Avas Chesed. V'zehu mashe ramza ha-Torah b'maisa de Avram Avinu, when Avram was busy hosting the three guests, shela'ach she'achlu, oh, finally, once they were fed, then the Malach told him, I'm going to come back in a year and you're going to have a son, etc. Namely, in the merit of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, you merit to have a son. Unbelievable. So it's a nice spin on the story. Is that Sam? Sam? Okay. Welcome, Sam Heller. Okay. Welcome to see you. Good to see you, Sam. Okay, so all of this has been background of the mitzvah, but we haven't really learned any actual halacha. So this was basically the starting point. B'derech hakdama, as an introduction, we basically learned, you know, that quote-unquote hamasas orchem is a big deal. So granted, we learned that Avraham Avinu was better than Eov, and we learned an interesting Maimer Chazal there, and Sarah Imeno was rewarded, and there's a connection between Hachnasas Orchim and the Shechina, that it's even better than the Shechina. All right, but these are all B'derech Hashkafa, B'derech Machshava, and they will inspire us, but we haven't really been given a language of what the mitzvah entails. And are there borders to this mitzvah? So we know, like, you put on your tefillin on a very specific part of your body at a very specific time. So, like, does Hachnasas Orchim have a set of rules that you can break? Is there a way to mess this mitzvah up? Is there a way to properly fulfill this mitzvah? So, you know, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to find Hilchos Hachnasas Orchim. You're not going to find it in the Rambam. You're not going to find it in Shas. So guess what? The Chafetz Chaim writes. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote many, many Svarim, and one of them is known as Avas Chesed, and he has a whole a little kuntris in that Sefer about Hachnasas Orchim. And I think maybe, I don't know, 95 of the sources that I quoted so far were based on that essay of the Chafetz Chaim. And he writes that the reason the Torah goes into so much detail about Avram hosting, as opposed to other things that Avram did where the Torah does not go into such detail, is specifically to tell you that this is the source for all of the halacha of Hachnasas Orchim. You know, why does the Torah go into such detail? The Torah needs to tell you what food Avraham gave the malachim and how he ran to feed them. And, you know, why does the Torah need to go into all those details? So it's a fascinating question. Like, it could have just said in a pasuk or two that Avraham hosted the malachim and fed them. But no, the Torah gives you a very vivid image of what was going on over there. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, Shma Mina, we learn from this, Shekavana Satorah, Lahoros Lanu, Lilmod Me Avinu Hazakein. The Torah is trying to say, learn from Avraham. Eich Lihisnaheg Ima Orchim. This is the source. How to deal with Orchim. This is the Bible on Hachnasas Orchim, right? Pun intended. Which means you're not supposed to look for the Rambam in this one. You're not supposed to look at the Shulchan Aruch in this one. Which is not a normal thing, right? If someone were to say, where can you find Hilchos Bris Milah? And someone says, well, what do you mean it's in Sefer Bereishis? You run far away from that rabbi. We don't learn the halachas of Bris Milah or Gid HaNasheh from the stories in Tanakh. That's not an orthodox concept, right? We got the Torah at Har Sinai. And the Rambam famously says in Perashat Mishnayos, the reason we keep the Torah is not because of what happened before Har Sinai, it's because we accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. And this seems to be an ironic exception to that rule, where you look to the storyline as a halachic guide. Now again, that's not so crazy, because what's guiding these halachos are really morality and human interaction. Because it's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, there's a lot more room to say it's intuitive, it's more humanitarian, it's more global, and maybe not even exclusive to the Jewish religion. So I think it makes sense, and it's much less controversial to say that you look at Avraham as a halachic source. Now, it is interesting that last week we learned that Avraham also serves as a basis halacha, how to do the mitzvah of emunah. Right? We learned last week that, again, but that wasn't because of Avraham, but it was in the same way that Avraham didn't just believe in God as blind faith, but he thought about God critically, right? So, where we saw the Mefarshim on the Rambam. Very good, Adam, yeah. Very good. So Adam's saying that the mitzvah is still from Har Sinai, v'halachav d'rachav, and the details come from Avraham. Very good. So it's interesting, though, that 2 weeks in a row we're learning halacha from Avraham Avinu, whether it was Emuna last week, that Avraham shaped the mitzvah, and certainly Hachmas Orchim this week. So it's a fascinating concept. So before we go back to Tanakh, I want to just point out that there are halachos that are unique to Hachnasas Orchim, namely the Shulchan Aruch rules, Kol ir sheyesh ba Yisrael, chayavim lahamid mehem gabayt staka, anashim yiduim v'ne'emanim. So basically any Torah community has an obligation to establish a gabbai tzedaka. And, you know, I think in our community, Jack, I've seen do a lot of, I don't know if he's like a formal gabbai tzedaka or, he, you know, it's more unofficial, but it's formal. So Jack, he seemingly is like our guy. And we certainly have like a rabbi's charity fund. But in history, the Jewish communities have had men appointed to make sure that those who are in need are receiving the necessary funds. And the Shach says, included in this is Hachnasas Orchim. Vayukofin ze'etzel hachnis lahem Orchim ulechalik len stakim, quoting the Mordechai, seemingly from the Rambam, because we're going to learn this in the Rambam. Now, the halacha, based on that, seems to be saying what? Like, if you were to ask, so every Jewish community has an obligation to make sure that guests are hosted, right? So, to me, that sounds a lot more like the mitzvah of tzedakah. A lot more like the mitzvah of tzedakah, and a lot less like the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim as we know it. So, I'll take a little bit of an aside now to a personal story. So in Shalavim, their hashkafa is to be open-minded to a lot of different Orthodox hashkafas. Meaning you should understand why people are Haredi, you should understand why people are Datzi Le'umi, why is someone Wayu, why is someone Yeshivish, and they expose you to different communities. So we will go on a Shabbaton to this community, a Shabbaton to that community, and we have a Me'ah She'arim Shabbaton. It was an amazing experience for me. And we actually ate by someone who I grew up with in Jamaica States who, you know, was learning in Kollel and the Mir to be exposed to that community. And on Friday night, we ate by Mamish Toldos Aaron Chassidim. Right? A collision of worlds. It was me and my two friends. You know, Rabbi Sammy Bergman is now a Rebbe in Toronto. He was with me, a close friend in Shalavim. And Yehuda Rubel grew up in Teaneck. And we're there, and we were told in advance a little bit of rules. We were going to daven by Toldos Aaron Shul, the big Toldos Aaron Shul in Me'ah She'arim, and maybe officially Geula, it's like down the hill. We were told they love hosting Orchim. That's what they do. It was actually Parshas Vayera, that Shabbos, I remember vividly. They said they like hosting Orchim, and don't be embarrassed if they offer you food and they themselves are not eating. They want you to eat. That's the culture in this community. Okay, interesting. So after Minyan on Friday night, there was a gabbai tzedaka who was asking everyone, do you have a place to eat? Do you have a place to eat? Do you have a place to eat? And everyone in Shalavim was paired up with Toldos Aaron Chassidim. So I remember very clearly, I went to the Wallace family. This man worked for Oz V'Hadar printing, you know, the Gemara, and all the other Svarm Osvaldar Pindah. It was a very enjoyable meal. We schmoozed with him and his kids, you know, in the Toldos Aaron community, so the men and the women don't eat together, at least when the guests were over. And it was extremely awkward, I'll tell you why, because they gave a very fishy fish, like this white fish with a lot of bones. Now, I was able to eat the fish. I enjoyed the fish. One of the two friends of mine could not stomach the fish. You know, we'll just say a modern Orthodox boy growing up, you know, in a different type of home, he just couldn't eat it. He just couldn't eat it. It was too much for him. So the fish meal was over, and they expect to clear your place. Now, the own kids in the family were not given the fish. It was a special privilege for the Orchim. We host guests, and only the Orchim get fish. And that's culture. We were warned, like, don't feel awkward. It's what they like. And again, the kids were fed. It wasn't like they weren't fed. But the Orchim get fish. And they look at Yehuda Rubel's plate, and his fish is not eaten. And he tried to like sneak it to me under the table, but it was too obvious, and he just couldn't eat it. And whatever, you know, everyone has their own taste. People have different opinions about fish. And they looked at him like he was from Mars, like who doesn't finish fish? Like, you know, again, because then it was such a delicacy, it was such a luxury. And that's what we're talking about in like classical Jewish history. What Hachnasas Orchim is, you speak about the Hasidic Rebbes who would wait for hours because they wouldn't want to start their Friday night meal until they had a guest. You know, that is the classical portrayal of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. And then all of a sudden that like begs the question, so does the mitzvah even exist nowadays? Because let's be real, right? I mean, we didn't need the Toldos Aaron Hasidim to host us. It was... What did you say?
There's no such thing as a restaurant, and there's no such thing as a
Very good. So Adam says, right. So the whole hotel and restaurant industry changed the face of this place. So I mean, the people who have money, they have where to go. So aniyim are not really like, you know, scrounging around for meals, at least openly. So I guess we'll have to get to that in the end. Because certainly we'll conclude that the mitzvah applies nowadays, albeit a little bit differently. So I just wanted to point out that if you look at the, you know, the classical makoros, the vibe, so to speak, of Hachnasas Orchim is more closely related to the mitzvah of Staka than we may have thought. Okay, but I would like to do a little bit of trivia. Okay, if I were to ask you, all right, so now that we know that Avram Avinu is the paradigm of the Machnes Orchim, the Chafetz Chaim, at least the way I organized it, lists 10 distinct things the ideal host would do when he hosts guests. I want you to think back to Chumash Rashi. If you haven't gotten there yet in Shnai Mikra, think back to your, you know, your previous years. What do you think is one thing to learn from Avram Avinu based on the way that he hosted the Malachim this week's Parsha? And the Chafetz Chaim writes it lahalacha. 10 different things. Let's go. I want to hear. Who's gonna, if you get it, you get a sticker. Let's see. Who's gonna get the sticker? I want to see. Let's go, Rabbi Weintraub. What do you got? I know you're gonna think of something. I know. Adam's in person. We have our Zoomers and we have our in-person Talmud over here. Let's go. I want a list. Oh, excellent. Rabbi Weintraub makes the list. That's right. If we're playing Family Feud, so that's on the list. He gave them some water to wash, because people were dirty. Again, forgetting the Maimar Chazal about the Avodah Zarah issue. But they, you know, they bow down to the dust on the feet. But Pashup Shad is that people are dirty, right? So you let them wash up a little bit first. Yeah, what else? Excellent, AB. You get a sticker? It's a lot more awkward for Adam, because I'm staring at Adam in the face. Adam can't hide from me, right? All of you could turn your cameras off, right? So I'll give you the list. That thing is fascinating, okay? So let's go back to the Mar Makomo sheet. Mar Makomo sheet is somewhere on this device. I'm going to go find it. Or if I'm not careful, you're going to read my TABC emails. So I need to know what to share and what not to share. Not always the easiest thing to do when you're working with Google Docs. Ah, there are two Gmails. There's the Yoni Mandelstam at TABC and the Yoni Mandelstam Stam. So I'm in the wrong Mandelstam. All right, let's go back to Yoni Mandelstam weekday Show Me Torah Gmail account. Here we go. Okay, so number one, Yikavlam b'sefer panim yafos, right? Yasim yad lifneim le'echol. So you know what? I'm actually going to change my order. Number one, greet them with a smile, right? Avram Avinu was excited to greet them. It wasn't a burden to him, right? Now again, that's going to be a little bit repetitive. We'll have to see if we stick with our number. Now, v'yasim miyad lifneim. I went a little bit of a rant about this last Shabbos. Those of you who dive inside, I would appreciate this. He gave them the food right away. V'yasim miyad lifneim echol, ki ulai ha'ani ra'ev u'misbayesh l'sh'ol. Don't wait to feed your guests. Feed them right away. So number one, he greeted them with a smile. Number two, he fed them right away. Now again, what am I anti? Who remembers from last Shabbos? Alvin, when you host Mandelstam, what are you not supposed to do before you sit down, Alvin? Oh, Adam got it. But what? No, but specifically what? I will engage in a conversation, but I will not do what? What's the room that people... Oh, very good, Alvin, right? I'm going to call it the shiva call. The shiva call before the meal, right? For some reason, in Hilchos hosting, someone made up Baal Tosif, and they said, first there needs to be a 20-minute shiva call in the living room before you start eating. So you go to the couch, yeah, catch up for 20 minutes, and only then are you entitled to food. It's awful. Mamish and Midag, there should be Pashkevils and Kol Koris written out against this Minag. It's against the Abbas Chesed. It's against our Mesorah of how to host food first, schmoozing second. Okay, well, those of you who don't know me, who might be listening in the Shir, I promise you I am more normal in person. But you know what? You get it. Come on, you're going to speak for 20 minutes before you host it. Come on. Okay, and again, living room couches are great, but you know, after the meal. Okay, number three. V'yitein lehem b'fanim etzuhu vot. Right, so that's why you can't really count one and three as separate. I.e., when you feed people, you should feed them with an excited face. It's kind of like number one. Number four, the afim yesh belibo davar daiga yichasenu b'fneim. This is crucial. Even if you are worried about something, don't think about it when your guests are over. Meaning when your guests are over, you should pretend that there's no worry in the world. So one time this happened to me. I was invited somewhere and we were excited to go. And between the time of the invitation and the actual meal, that family experienced a personal hardship. And what they should have done was cancel the invitation. Okay, it happens. Stuff comes up. But they didn't cancel. And I'm not going to lie, it was not a pleasant meal because they were under a lot of stress. And my wife and I basically left that experience saying, yee, they're going through a tough time. Now, again, granted, maybe the reason they invited us or didn't cancel our invitation was that we could be like, you know, the ones who helped them get through the tough time. But it was not pleasant. If the host is going through a tough time and they can't kind of block that out, it's going to impact the avira, the atmosphere of the meal. Okay, so fascinating art of the Chofetz Chaim. So if you're going through stress, block it out. Number five. You should host as if you're wealthy, even if you're poor. Now that is what the Hasidim excel in, right? They don't have enough money sometimes to feed their own children all of the different courses of the meal, but they feed you as if you are the Queen of England, right? The guests get everything under the sun, meat, fish, soup, everything. Again, are they wealthy? Again, some told us Aron Hasidim are, but some of them are certainly not. But when it comes to Achnasas Orchim, you would never guess. They're billionaires when it comes to the way they treat guests. Six, V'nachamim b'dvarim u'bazei yelehem l'meshiv nafesh. Calm your guests down so that they eat in a pleasant tone. Or again, very similar to some of the other ones. The idea is that it's not only about feeding them, it's about creating an atmosphere. Number seven, V'al yisaper lifneim t'la'osav. Don't talk about all your life's problems, because then you're going to basically ruin the meal. Again, similar to the other ones. As I'm going down the list, some of them are pretty similar. But you get the idea. Okay, number eight. U'bishas ha'ochel, when they're actually eating, yira atzmo kimitzta'er al she'enu yachol hasig li ten yoter. When you're actually feeding them, come off as if you're upset that you can't give them more. My mom is very good at this, right? She'd be very upset if you don't finish the food, right? I don't want any leftovers. I think all Jewish women are actually very good at this. But no Jewish woman wants leftovers, and they make it seem as if you're doing them the favor by eating more food. Okay, then it goes to Zohar. Again, I mean, you don't want people to feel embarrassed about asking for food. And number 10 is that you have to what? Number 10 is about actually hosting them to sleep. It's important to realize that sometimes a better night's sleep, right? So the Chofetz Chaim is better than a good meal. Give them comfortable beds. One time I was NCSY advisor, and the people who hosted me didn't get the memo that you give someone like a mattress, and I slept on the carpet that night, and like, I was ready to like leave NCSY, like after that Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, the Shabbaton was good enough, and I worked for NCSY summer, and I'm very happy about that, but let's just, like, my mom just got to the house, and they just showed me a carpet, and I'm like, anything else? So they gave me like a pillow, and I was like, whatever, a little bit of a miscommunication there about whatever, I'm not going to name the community, but let's just say I don't plan on going back there anytime soon. All right, now 11 is that you have to escort your guests. You have to escort your guests. We know Chazal criticized the people who don't escort the guests in the Parsha of Egla Arufa, that you're actually compared to a murderer for not properly escorting your guests out of your home. Now, we're going to dwell on that for a little bit because the Rambam, believe it or not, does not speak about the mitzvah of Anachas Orchim independently. Rather, he speaks about the mitzvah of escorting guests. The Rambam Hilchos Avel, in the very last parak Yudal, it says, mitzvah, asei shel divrayim, look what he says, you know, to be older, nicham aveilim, hachnasas kal, ulelavot ha'orchim, to escort guests. And what did the Rambam say? Who did this? Hu achok shechakaku Avraham Avinu. Ha ha. There it is again. So even the Rambam uses Avraham as a halachic source. And what did Avraham Avinu do? The Rambam writes that Avraham would host them, and melave otan, he would also escort them. So I remember when I was in around high school, we were hosted by the Levine family in Jamaica Estates. I had never seen this before. We ate them Friday night meal, normal Friday night meal, whatever. My family and their family friends, growing up in Jamaica Estates, the meal was over, and they walked us down the block. And my family was very surprised, like, what are you doing? And we had never experienced that from a host before. And we all remember thinking that is so nice that we were like walked out. And I never heard of it until I was in 10th grade at the time. I'd never heard of such a thing. And that's mefurish in the Torah, right? Meaning part of having guests is to escort them. And it's interesting to note that the poskim are actually bothered why we don't do this anymore. You know what? Uvayalkut Maharasha, the Ramah quotes Pshatim, you know, maybe we don't hope for X, Y, or Z. He says, you know what? At least be malava them dalan amos. Dalan amos. Right? The Ramah writes in the Darchei Moshe, quoting the Yalkut Maharasha, I'm not sure who that is, that at least you should escort your guest dalan amos. So I would recommend that when your guests leave, walk them, you know, a few feet out of your property. And the Emek Bracha, Talmud of the Briska Rav, actually asked this question explicitly. Why does no one do this anymore? Why does no one escort guests? And he said that he asked this question to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said, used to be that times were a lot more dangerous. And when you said goodbye to your guest, he might have been on his own. But nowadays, argues the Chazon Ish, people are out and about. And it's not dangerous when you say goodbye to your guests. He writes, Aval kihayom, shenosim harbe anashim yachad. Everyone's kind of out and about together. Nasa kol echad levi lechavir. I mean, everyone's escorting this individual. I.e. in Fairlawn, yeah, there are lights in the streets at night. And again, no one feels like they're in danger. But again, the lumdus there is a big assumption. Who said the mitzvah of escorting the guest has anything to do with danger? Because, I mean, the Levines escorted the Mandelstams. We were not in danger, but it felt very nice. In the same way that it was very nice to be hosted, it was very nice to be escorted. So, again, I want to... Yes? No. Okay, now it is true. I did grow up in Queens, and there are different, we'll say, strokes down the, again, Jamaica State's out of hole is a very, very safe neighborhood, but you are right, Rabbi Weintraub Schlitter, that if you go down the block in the same way in Fairlawn, you keep on walking, you'll have the next neighborhood. Now, you're right, that's a very good point. Now, the assumption, though, is that people know where they're going and they're not in danger, but it's a good point. Rabbi Weintraub points out, don't be naive. You know, obviously, there's still a thing called danger, and there's a thing called, you know, being mugged, you know, and growing up in New York, you know, I've been in that situation. Okay, so... just to end with a little lumdus there, right, that the Chafetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish is making a huge assumption where it's about danger. And other poskim say, what do you mean? There's a concept called kavod ha'oreach. You're supposed to honor the guests. And you escort a guest because it's honorable. So that would be the reason to disagree with the Chazon Ish. But again, I think the Chazon Ish and Rav Pomeranchik here on the Emek Bracha are just trying to justify the minug. Right? In the Ramah, he still said, in the name of the Maharash, that you should still escort your guests to the city entrance, or at least four amos. So when I host guests, kachi, mesora, shali, based on the Levines, I always escort my guests a little bit out. And my children know that we walk the guests out. When my parents visit on Sunday, we walk them to the car. Highly recommend it, again, because if it's about kavod ha'oreach, it's a very nice touch to escort your guests. Now, in conclusion, I want to just make a point. The Penina Halacha doesn't, we'll do it outside. There's more to say here on the sugya. But, you know, there are those poskim who argue that since the main mitzvah of Anachas Orchim is really more about staka, and it's not like we have that setup anymore where poor people need a meal, so you could argue that Anachas Orchim doesn't exist. Now, again, it should be noted in our own community, Rabbi Yudin, for decades, has been doing Anachas Orchim, quote-unquote, the authentic way, right? Where you find people who need a meal, that whether they're poor or they don't know what Shabbos even is, and it's all of a sudden Kiruv. The amount of people have been brought to Yiddishkeit thanks to Rabbi Yudin Shabbos table or Pesach Seder. So it should be noted. And there are people who do Hachnasas Orchim in the classical sense. That's number one. And number two, Rav Elazar Melamed in Eretz Yisrael points out that nowadays people still need friends. They still need friends. And when you host a guest, it could give them a lot of chizuk. You know, even me, you know, it's nice to not make a Shabbos meal when you have little kids. It's nice to know that your kids are not going to be on your property for the entire Shabbos. They could crash someone else's house for a few hours. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be hosted. And I would imagine, okay, so if you want to argue, maybe it's not the most classical version of Hachnasas Orchim, and there is a halachic backing to say that in the Ramah, in Hilchos Shabbos, not going to go into the details, it's still at a minimum a mitzvah. And the Chafetz Chaim in Avos Chesed there says it's still a mitzvah to be machnes orchim who are rich. So there, ding, 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 ding. Why is it a mitzvah to host guests who are rich? So I want to use that line of the Chafetz Chaim to prove that Hachnas Orchim is not only about tzedakah. Because even in the Chafetz Chaim's Avos Chesed, he writes that there's a mitzvah to host even the wealthy. So clearly, there's an added element of Hachnas Orchim, which is more chesed-driven than tzedakah-driven. So again, for the sake of time, well, and here, anyone listening to the recording, the Makoros Plinada will be posted on YU Torah's website. And anyone who has questions, please stay on the line. I'm happy to field questions or comments. Have a wonderful evening.